Hello and welcome to the Monday, June 15th, 2015 edition of the Sands Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Baltimore, Maryland. You may remember Ask.com. Ask.com was one of the early search engines and it has survived in the form of a rather pushy toolbar that will often be installed by other software downloads, like for example Java updates. Now, with that, Ask.com is often installed by mistake and users don't realize as they install Java that they have to uncheck that dialog box, for example, and the result will be a restricted search. Microsoft last week started labeling the Ask.com toolbar unwanted software, which is sort of a step above a malware, but will trigger a warning to users and prevent them from installing this toolbar. And then late last week, we got two patches from Cisco. One patch for iOS that will resolve a denial of service vulnerability in the processing of IPv6 packets with odd extension header. The second patch is really just the SSL update that we have seen last week applied to Cisco's products. And we have heard occasionally about BIOS vulnerabilities and the potential to exploit these vulnerabilities. A new paper by Xeno Kova and Corey Kallenberg does outline some of the practical aspects of actually exploiting these vulnerabilities. Often BIOS vulnerabilities are kind of underestimated as more of a high-level attack that requires quite a bit of resources, but as outlined in this paper, these attacks can be automated and can be widespread just like any other attack, in part because, well, BIOSes are reused a lot, so similar exploit code will work on a wide range of systems, and also the detection of what BIOS you're running can be automated. The authors of the paper make an interesting comment in that they consider the fact that there is no widespread evidence of BIOS exploitation just a result of actually nobody looking for these kind of exploits and difficulties in looking for these exploits. Also, that companies hardly ever have any kind of patch management system for firmware. And AlienWall is reporting about a waterhole attack that used JSONP exploits in order to leak information from various websites. These attacks did target some organizations critical of the Chinese government and a number of large sites, in particular Chinese sites like, for example, Baidu.com and Taobao.com were affected by this exploit. JSONP is one way with JavaScript to conduct cross-origin requests. If a website does support this form of cross-origin requests, it has to be really carefully in filtering these requests and only responding to requests initiated by valid websites. It's often implemented in order to support older browsers that don't necessarily do support proper cross-origin requests as they're currently done in more modern web applications. So what the exploit does here, it actually does inject a code on one side. That would be the vulnerable side. It's probably vulnerable to some kind of cross-site scripting or such that allows the attacker to inject JavaScript. This JavaScript will then create additional script tags that will pull in the JSONP data from other websites and then allow the exploit to actually retrieve the data and forward it to some form of collector or central command and control server. And we got one more item about Internet of Devices. This time it's a D-Link smart plug. So that's a plug that you would be able to control with your mobile phone or the like. Well, it turns out that like many of these devices, this particular smart plug is terribly vulnerable, allowing arbitrary command execution, SQL injection, arbitrary file upload, and the retrieval of diagnostic information without really any authentication. So overall, your typical vulnerable home automation device. And we got an update for PHP. Probably the most critical bug that's being fixed in this update is a vulnerability in Escape Shell Arc. Escape Shell Arc can be used or should be used by developers to escape data that's being passed to shell commands. Apparently, this function doesn't do it correctly, so as a result, it was possible to actually inject code into these shell commands. The patch should fix this issue. I still highly recommend that you don't rely on functions like this in itself, but if possible, design your application to make any command shell arguments easy to validate. And well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. I will be here at Sans Fire this weekend. We will have our annual handler panel this evening. Still checking if we will have a live streaming URL available. Watch the Internet Storm Center website for any updates. And if not, then I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.